You're listening to Morning Edition on WNYC. Many masterworks in painting and sculpture wouldn't exist if it wasn't for a model who posed for hours or sometimes even days. But life for these muses didn't always go well after their images became famous. A new off-Broadway play tackles what it means to be the inspiration for an artist. And here to talk about the play and about the often tragic life of muses is Jennifer Venasco, news editor and theater critic in WNYC's newsroom, and Deborah Solomon, WNYC's art critic. Good morning to you both.
Good morning, Soterios.
So, Jennifer, the play is called The Human Fruit Bowl. How does it deal with the issue of a muse exactly?
Well, this is a one-woman off-Broadway show about a life model. The whole show is done actually as if we're taking an art class. So audience members are handed lap boards and pencils and paper with the idea that they'll draw this naked woman in front of us. And at the beginning of the hour and every few minutes, a buzzer goes off and the actress, who is Harmony Stemple, a very nuanced and compelling performance, and then she changes poses. Mostly, she poses in a ceramic bathtub in the middle of the set because the play revolves around a question that the model is asking herself. What happened to the life model, or really this muse, of French artist Pierre Bonnard? That was Renée Montchatti. She was his mistress. And it seems that historical accounts are confused about this. Did she really kill herself in a bathtub? That's what kind of everybody knows, but is everybody right about that? Basically, this life model herself, this character is asking, you know, these are all muses. These are all famous life models, like what I'm doing right now. And where are their lives? And why don't we know anything about them?
Deborah, you saw the play as well. Did anything about the relationship between the artist Pierre Bonnard and Renée Montchatti surprise you?
Unfortunately not. It's another tragic story about an artist's relationship with his forgotten model. The problem is that most models tend to get dropped eventually. And being dropped by an artist is a terrible way to exit a relationship because you're losing not only the person but the luxury of his gaze. And so many artist models, most famously perhaps Camille Claudel, have led very tragic lives. After Camille, as we all know from the film by Isabella Gianni, was dropped by Rodin, she ended up spending 30 years insane in an institution. The most famous woman in a painting, the Mona Lisa, remains a mystery because we're not even sure yet about her identity. Isn't that incredible?
Yeah.
We know nothing about her.
Well, Deborah, you kind of touched on this subject a little bit in your most recent book about Norman Rockwell. He often used boys as models. What do we know about those relationships?
Yes, well, his first and best-known model, Billy Payne, was dropped by Norman Rockwell when he was 16 years old. And as a result, the boy was so pained by the rejection that he fell into a very troubled life and ended up falling to his death out a window when he was just 16 years old.
Okay, you say that the artist uses the model. In some ways, maybe one might say the model uses the artist to feed some sort of maybe narcissism or whatever else. And that, you know, the relationship is so intense that once that attention on the model is taken away, that it turns totally tragic. Can you make a blanket statement that that's the case for many models?
Well, yes. There is Dora Maar, Picasso's lover, who was dropped, Camille Claudel.
Women didn't have the kind of social position or weren't able to advance themselves in careers the way men were. And then when the artist dropped them, what did they have to do? They couldn't go and become medical doctors. They weren't going to become most likely famous paper painters themselves. What did they have to do? Nothing. They had nothing.
There were some male models as well, some famous ones. But are you saying most in history have been women?
Yes. Most paintings of nudes do, in fact, consist of female nudes. And I think studies have found that viewers, both male and female, prefer looking at the female figure, possibly because the female body is made up of curves, which are more interesting to look at than the straight lines of a male figure.
Being a model, this is brought up in the play, is actually a lot of work. So in the play, the life model talks about holding these positions and how it hurts your body, especially to do these unusual poses that are the famous poses. And he uses all this mental focus. These are not passive women. These are active women.
When I think about models, I definitely think about art of the past. Do artists still use models?
Not really. If you go to a traditional art school, you will be expected to draw from a life model, which is considered the foundation of all art education. But most figurative painters today, the well-known ones I can think of, such as Eric Fischel, John Curran, Dana Schutz, Walter Robinson, are more likely to work from photographs as opposed to life models.
Why is that?
I think they are trying to make a statement about the culture in which we live in which we experience most everything, including the human figure, through photography.
Plus, photographs don't have to take breaks.
Exactly.
So, WNYC listeners, we have a question for you. Would you be willing to be an artist's muse? Why or why not? Let us know at WNYC.org. Deborah, Jennifer, thanks so much.
Thanks so much, Sotirios.
Jennifer Vanasco is news editor and theater critic in WNYC's newsroom, and Deborah Solomon is WNYC's art critic. The Human Fruit Bowl is playing at Baruch Performing Arts Center until April 11th. For a review of it, visit WNYC.org. This is WNYC.